Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thus far our text. In Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior, to Christian friends. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? St. John, exiled to the island of Patmos, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, was not alone. He was part of the body of Jesus Christ, the church. He was not alone, but connected through the one crucified and risen Lord Jesus to all the saints in heaven and all the saints on the earth. The church may seem defeated and crushed by the world which rallies against the church in league with Satan. We may bemoan the fact that the church seems to be dying in our day, but the truth is, the church is the only living and growing organism in this world. For the Christian church is the very body of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church on earth. St. John, in his lonely exile, sees a myriad of saints that no man can number from every tribe and nation. Who are they? We confess in our entrance psalm, and in our first reading this morning, that these are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the blessed saints, saints whose bodies rest in God's garden till the day of resurrection. These are the saints upon the earth, you and me. The world doesn't know them because it doesn't know God our Father. These saints are us sinners, justified by God's gift in Jesus our Savior. Learn well from the first full sermon of Jesus recorded in Matthew's Gospel, this blessed reality of sainthood. For blessed are you in Christ. What is the source of our blessed sainthood? Matthew records, And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Jesus sees the multitudes coming towards him. Who are these people? He tells us. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. These are Jews from Jerusalem and Judea, but more than that. They're also Gentiles from the area of the Decapolis, the 10 cities, and the area beyond the Jordan. The crowd comes to Jesus on a mountain. What does Jesus do? He opens his mouth to teach them, to breathe them alive through his word. It is what he had done when he knelt over the lifeless lump of clay that he had fashioned the first man in Eden. He opens his mouth and breathes forth his life-giving Holy Spirit through his word. What is a saint? The world defines a saint as someone who has done so much good that they've earned heaven by the sweat of their brow. But the Holy Bible defines saints as us sinners, who are set apart by God's grace in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit says in Titus chapter 3, For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared towards us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The source of your sainthood is totally outside of yourself and Jesus' word and gifts. He opened his mouth, and he breathed you alive by his Holy Spirit. And this truth echoes in your ears every Sunday as we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What words are missing from that phrase? Simple words, I baptize you. At the font here, Jesus declared you to be a saint. More than that, he clothed you with a white robe washed white in his blood, the blood that flowed from his crucified side. God the Holy Spirit teaches this truth through the pen of St. Paul when he writes to the church in Galatia saying, for as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The source of our blessed sainthood is not found in what we have done, but in God's gracious gift to us in the flesh and blood of Jesus our Savior. See, the Beatitudes are not a new law. Scripture is very clear. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Sadly, many of our Christian brothers and sisters think that the Beatitudes are prescriptive, telling us what we must do to be blessed and accepted by our God and Father. They wrongly imagine that saints make themselves saints by their self-chosen good works, by which they find their way to God. Our first parents made this mistake when they broke faith with God's life-giving and sustaining word and meal. They trusted in their own wisdom, their own feelings, their own sight, and their own works to set them apart, to be like God. And we know the disastrous consequences of false sainthood, sin, shame, tearing ourselves away from our God and from one another, and ultimately death. Learn well that these words of Jesus are blessings. That's what they are called, Beatitudes. They're not another giving of the law. We couldn't keep the Ten Commandments the Lord God wrote in our hearts when he created us, and that he wrote in two tablets of stone and gave us through Moses. Jesus does not come to give us a new set of commandments in the Beatitudes. He comes to bless. And that's why he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What word do we hear again and again? It's blessed. Blessing is not something we earn by what we do or suffer. It is God's free gift to us sinners in the blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our Savior. He is our brother. It's a blessed reality that we are knit together into Christ's living body within his church. And here we have a foretaste of what shall be ours in Jesus in the life of the world to come. What is the blessed reality of our sainthood? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. God the Holy Spirit instructs you in 2 Corinthians, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus, though he is Lord of all, the eternally only begotten Son of God, he empties himself and he becomes the poorest in spirit. He takes on our flesh and blood. He becomes a beggar for us poor, miserable beggars. And he brings us poor, miserable sinners into his kingdom. Saints are not perfect people. We confess that we are 100% sinners by what we have inherited from Adam. But in Christ, we are 100% saints. We realize that we have no goodness within ourselves. We despair of everything that we have done, and we cling only to Jesus. The broken, despairing sinner David would confess, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Saints do not deny the reality of sin in our present creation. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We mourn. This is the valley of the shadow of death, because sin entered this world. Sin rules in our mortal bodies. And the good that we want to do, we don't do. And the evil that we don't want to do, that's what we do. And with St. Paul, we cry out, who will deliver me from this body of death? And the answer is Jesus. He is a man of sorrows. He is acquainted with all of our grief. He became your brother in the womb of the Virgin Mary to carry your grief and to bear your sorrows. He is the only Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, my sin and yours. And he calls to us, despairing sinners, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies, Scripture teaches. Jesus humbles himself to the point of death upon the cross as he trusts in our Heavenly Father's good and gracious will for him. Clothed in Christ the Lord, saints trust in their Father's will. We submit ourselves to our God and Father. For blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Trust in our Father's good and gracious will in Christ Jesus. We can look ahead to new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Meekly we humble ourselves under the Father's word and will, casting all of our cares upon him, for he cares for us. For his will is good and gracious, even when he breaks this old sinful flesh of mine, be it through sickness, despair, grief, or loss. His will is always good. I thirst, Jesus would cry out from the cross, to fulfill all Scripture. His hunger to fulfill all righteousness for our salvation began when he walked in the waters of the Jordan River to be baptized into our sin and our death and our hell that we justly deserved. And it was only after John laid on upon him the sins of the world that he would point to him and say, behold, the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. He takes away all of my sins, all of your sins. They are not for you to bear. They are not for you to pay. He has carried them in his own body. And that's why Jesus says here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In the spiritual desert of this world, us sinner saints hunger and thirst for true righteousness. From the crucified flows living drink and food to quench their thirst and our hunger. As he says, take, eat, this is my body I have given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood. I have shed it for you. You are forgiven. From our God flows superabundant mercy. Mercy in Jesus, mercy in water, mercy in forgiving words, mercy in the gospel preached, mercy in teaching us to pray, mercy in bread and wine fed to fill us with full forgiveness of our sins, with life eternal, and the certainty that salvation is ours, made alive in mercy. We live in mercy towards our fellow sinners. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In Jesus, we are freed to forgive, freed to be merciful to one another. First of all, with our closest neighbor, our husband, our wife, then our next neighbors, our children, our families. We show them mercy because in Christ we have received all the mercy necessary for our salvation. In Jesus, sinners are reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Our warfare is ended. Stop fighting against God. For now you have peace in Jesus through the flesh and blood of your Savior. We have peace also with one another. For all humanity is knit together in Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. These blessings of us sinners being declared saints in Jesus are now hidden. We hear echoes of them every Sunday in the divine service. But to be truthful, we don't see them. Sometimes we don't feel them. We don't experience them fully yet. We wait for Jesus again to appear in glory. For then, as we said in our epistle lesson this morning, we shall see him, for we shall be like him. And all these precious promises shall come to sight. And our bodies raised from the grave will be incorruptible, immortal, glorious, and powerful. And we will rejoice in that Lamb forever. What does Jesus promise that we will see now? Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets before you. Jesus promises you, dear blessed saints, the cross. Jesus, the one fully human man, who is truly righteous, tells us that if the world hates you, know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word Jesus says on the night that he was prayed, that I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Christ's saints, don't seek to stir up warfare against themselves by being belligerent. But we speak the truth in humility and love. We confess that there's only one way, one truth, one life. And through whose flesh and blood we are reconciled to our God and Father, through whom heaven gates are open. But as we speak the truth, persecution will come. The devil, the world, my old and sinful me, cannot stand the truth. We stand assailed by ridicule and hate from without, and doubt and despair and misbelief from within. As we struggle under the cross, Jesus assures us, take heart. He says here, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Take heart, Jesus says. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. I live and the victory has been won for you. Dear saints, cling only to Jesus and his word. Rejoice in the Lord always. St. Paul would write from being in prison for preaching the gospel, be exceedingly glad, even when it seems to your worldly eyes that the church is dying, because it's not. We have a living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have his life-giving, sustaining word. He has called you and claimed you to be saints by his gospel. And so we confess, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. That's why we have the Alpha and the Omega on the altar. Jesus is the author, and he's the finisher of your faith. Faith is not your work. It's not your mental acceptance of Jesus. It's a work that Christ begins with you, in you by the Holy Spirit. And he keeps you in this faith, even if you should suffer from Alzheimer's, until he brings you home to himself in heaven. See, within this church, Christ keeps us sinners. And he daily makes you saints. For in this church, he daily and richly forgives you all your sins and the sins of all believers. And as this Saints' Day, we take time to remember those from whom our congregation, whom God called home to heaven this past year. And we take time as families to remember those whom the Lord has called away from our family through death to himself in heaven. We look forward to the day when their baptism shall be completed. For the Holy Spirit on the last day raise up me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.